Join me in James chapter 5, and we have come to the concluding sermon in our James series. And I pray you have been blessed by it as much as I. Must tell you, though, it was quite a bit more challenging than I had assumed as I moved into it. But the Lord delivered, and we have a wonderful book of study now under our belts. And so James chapter 5, the final two verses. My brothers, sisters, of course, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word and teach us here through this time together. Hebrews chapter 3 says, take care, brothers, lest there be any in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. From Galatians 6, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are to be our brother's keeper. We are to be our sister's keeper. However, in today's world, we are taught a very unbiblical practice when it comes to faith and religion. We are taught that faith is an individual thing. You're free to do whatever you choose to do. Just do it by yourself. You are free to believe whatever you want, pursue whatever you want. And I am free to believe whatever I want or pursue whatever I want, and there should be no interference. But the Bible says otherwise. James here says otherwise. The writer to the Hebrews says otherwise. The writer to the Galatians, Paul, says otherwise. James says, if any one of you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, in this it says that we are to be involved with our brothers and sisters. And we are to be watchful of our brothers and sisters. And we see them moving away. We are to go get them. The Christian faith is not to be an individual thing. We are our brother's keeper. We are to be our sister's keeper. Now, this is a very short passage, but it is packed. One reason I've taken them in such small sequences these last couple of weeks. And looking at this passage, I would like to take it in four parts. First of all, the evidence. What evidence is there that someone has wandered? What should we be watchful for? That someone has wandered. What evidence? Secondly, the action. Once we see that wandering, what actions are we to take to bring them back? Thirdly, who? Who is to do this? And then finally, I think you might see that there are some concerns here. Because James has some pretty strong language, especially in that last sentence of verse 20. There are some things there that we need to unpack and understand fully. So there's some concerns here. And so the four parts, evidence, actions, who, and then our concerns. First of all, the evidence. And as I said with the children, we must also say here, we begin with the truth. Because James says, wanderers from the truth. If any of you wanders from the truth, so truth, we must begin with truth. In John 18, there is a conversation between Jesus Christ and Pilate after he is arrested. And during that conversation, Jesus says, I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And in that conversation, Pilate asks him a question. Pilate says, "What is truth?" Just as Pilate did in his day, many today ask the same question. What is truth? What is truth? Sadly, in our day, even more so, I think, truth has become a very subjective thing. It's a very arbitrary thing for many today. Truth. You can have your truth, and I can have my truth. And your truth may not be my truth. So if you have your truth and I have my truth, then someone's truth is not true. But the illogical aspects of that seemingly doesn't strike anyone as odd. Because if you have a truth and I have a truth, then someone's truth is not true. But that seems not to bother many people. I couldn't help but to think of Spock on Star Trek. That is so illogical. So what is the truth that James is speaking of? It's the gospel. It's the gospel message. It's the clear, objective message of the loving God. Is the message that Jesus died for sinners. And a belief in him and his message will indeed set you free. The truth, while it is not capitalized here in James's writing, as I said to the children, truth, all truth, the gospel truth, points to Jesus Christ. The truth is not so much a thing as it is a who, a person. But what James is getting at here is the truth is much, much more than something verbalized. The truth is not left to simply say, I believe truth or I believe in truth. It has to be an action. Truth is a living thing and it grips you. Truth that the gospel message, Jesus Christ, if you claim to know the truth, you know the person who is the truth, then it should make a difference in your life. And that difference should be seen way past simply saying, I believe the truth. And see, here is the evidence of which James is referring to, is being able to see you living to the truth and seeing you move away from that truth. If we see a brother or sister moving outside what we know to be the biblical message of the gospel, then this is the one whom James says we are to go get. This is the wanderer, the one who has wandered from the truth, and we have a responsibility to go get them. So the evidence that we're looking for is that which is contrary to the gospel. If we see someone living contrary to the gospel, to the biblical message, then we are to go bring them back. How do we do this? Well, this leads us to the second part. The action. James says, if someone brings them back. In the Greek language, this word, while not directly associated with repentance, but it has the idea of turning. Taking someone by the shoulders, if you will, and physically turning them. Well, this is repentance. We are to be that instrument of leading someone, bringing them back, but leading them through repentance back to the truth. It can also mean conversion. If it's a non-believer, this word can point to that conversion, being the instrument which God uses to bring someone to the truth through conversion. How do we do this? I mean, James is very practical. While he doesn't give us points here to follow, I think we all can get a grip of how do we do this. First of all, prayer. If you are that person and you're burdened and you see someone that's moving outside the truth of the gospel and you have that burden, your first step should be praying for the person. Lord, work in that person. Lord, bring that person to the truth. Convict them of their way. Move them toward. And then I go back to Galatians chapter 6. It says we should restore him with a spirit of gentleness. This is not Bible thumping. This is not whacking them across the head with the Bible. This is the gentle, compassionate nurturing relationship of conversation. Brother, sister, I'm concerned. Here's what I've seen. I'm concerned. Can we talk? And that may take several opportunities to move that into success. So, how do we do this? Remember, there's the idea of turning, repentance, conversion, and we do that with gentleness and compassion and love. Pointing out someone's sin to them is a very difficult and challenging thing. And there can be positive consequences, but there can also be negative consequences. But we do not shy away from that which is difficult, if it is the Bible's, God's direction to do it. Thirdly, who? Who does this? Who is to do this? Who's the anyone? If anyone among you wanders from the truth, okay, who's the anyone? And who's the someone? Who's the someone that turns? Who's the someone charged? Notice the word charged with bringing them back. Well, the someone aspect of this is easy. It's me. It's you. Every person who calls himself a believer, every person who acknowledges Jesus Christ as Lord, is the someone who should be watchful to those in their purview to turn back if so needed. But who is the anyone? And at first blush, this might seem like a very simple answer, but James includes a phrase down here that opens this up a bit. First of all, the anyone, as I've said, is a brother or sister that's moved away from the truth. Anyone sitting in the pew around you, anyone who calls New Sterling home, any of your co-workers, any of your friends in school, etc., that you know are believers, then they are your responsibility to be watchful toward. And we have a responsibility, an obligation, to call them, to bring them to their attention, your notice of their acts, which are outside the truth of the gospel. And then we do it, as I've said earlier. But as I've said, this James includes another aspect of this. Look down with me at verse 20. The latter portion. If we save someone from their wandering, we will save his soul from death. When James includes this idea of saving them from death, then this opens this up to a broader spectrum of individuals. In this aspect, while believers are included, he's directly speaking to non-believers there. Because a believer is already free from death. While I may wander from the truth, I cannot lose my salvation. Jesus is mine. I may wander and I may stray, but I pray the Holy Spirit and your work would bring me back. But when he says bring one back from death, then what he's speaking about is conversion. He's speaking about being that instrument God uses to bring someone to faith. This is evangelistic. That we are to be out sharing the gospel, turning the person from their untruthful, unbiblical ways toward the truth. Saving them from death. The death of sin. As I said, this has an evangelistic message to it. We are to be out sharing the gospel. Saving, being the instrument that saves these from death. Then fourthly, our concerns. Again, verse 20 says, if we do these things, we will save his soul from death, as I've just said, and we will cover a multitude of sins. When you read this, your little red flags should go up. And the question be asked, can we do that? Can you do that? Can you save someone from their sin? Can you cover by your actions? Can you cover their sin? No, I can't do that. I don't have that power, but I can't do that. So what is James saying? If I do these actions, he says very clearly, I will save his soul from death and I will cover a multitude of sins. What am I doing? We are to know who saves from sin. And we are to know who covers a multitude of sin. Again, that's the gospel message. We are to know that. However, what James is calling us on to do here, I believe, is to act as though we could. Act as though my action will be the thing that saves them from their sin. Knowing that I'm the instrument and bringing them to God, but act in such a way and give this such a level of importance that I am the one responsible for bringing them to salvation. Can I cover a multitude of sins? Can I cover their sins? No. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that covers their sin. But I, again, am to act in such a way that I do have that capacity. What James is doing is raising the level of importance of our actions to help us understand this is vital to life. This is vital to salvation. And we are to act in such a way that we are the instrument God is going to use to bring them to salvation. Save them from death. Now, I want to be very careful here because I have been one to tell you to understand who does the saving and not put that burden on you that when someone doesn't come to faith, I feel like a failure. So there's a bit of a balancing act here, and I hope you balance with me and understand and know I can't save any of you. I can't cover one drop of your sinfulness, nor you mine. But I can be the instrument. I can be a part of that process. And James is saying here, if I go and bring someone back from their sin, then I have been given that capacity. I say with caution, of saving them from death. How many of you have been involved in bringing someone to faith? You've been involved in that conversation and they've accepted Jesus Christ. I saw a few hands. I'd love to see how many folks we got here today, 140? One of the most tremendous feelings, actions you will ever have. To know that God placed on you the responsibility, but also the privilege of being a part of introducing someone else into the family of faith. That in and of itself will change you. And I believe that's all James is saying here. Yes, I am to be my brother's keeper. Yes, I am to be my sister's keeper. And we are to be watchful for each other. But we're also to be out there sharing the message of the gospel and turning, being the instrument of which God uses to turn them to faith. See, again, now let's put this all in the context of the book of James. Remember, these people are scattered. They're spread out from their homes. There's temptations. There's trials. There's challenges. There's heartaches. They are falling away in some regards. They are brothers and sisters in the faith, a part of James's church. But there's so many distractions. They're beginning to wander away, I believe. And James says, if you see anyone moving away from the faith, go get them. And you might be the very one God uses to bring them back into the fold. Or more, you might be the very one God uses to bring a person to faith. And James is telling his people, be watchful. Watch each other's back. Watch each other's actions. We are our brother's keeper. Faith is not an individual thing. We are a body. A body made up of a lot of parts. But we're a body. And I can't work without my left arm. I can't do much without my right leg. It all has to work together. And we are responsible for each other. And so if someone strays, go get them. With prayer, with gentle nurturing. James says, my brother, if any among you are wanderers from the truth and someone brings them back, let them know that whoever brings them back will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sin. You know, it's going to be a fantastic thing when we get to heaven and you see that person that you were a part of bringing them to faith. Or you're that person that was a part of rescuing someone. Many of the commentators I read use that word rescue. It's like throwing out a lifeline and rescuing them while they're drowning. Wow, I got to be a part of that. That's what we're called to do.